Let's go to the first one in the Washington, D.C. area, and that's Ken Timmerman. He covers the geopolitical activities around this world. And Ken, I know one of the subjects on your mind has been over the last, couple of months now, since September 11. The situation in Benghazi there, the killing of four of the U.S. personnel, the State Department's activities involved in this. Now the report comes out blaming the State Department, some resignations. I don't know if they've gone all the way to the top of the State Department operation, the Secretary of State, but talk to me about this report that's just been released.
Well, the report, which was an independent review led by a former State Department official, Tom Pickering, and a former top CIA official, came to the conclusion that there was a woeful neglect at the very top of the State Department bureaucracy for the security concerns raised by various people in Benghazi and in Tripoli, Libya. They did not openly call for censure of any officials, but as you mentioned, three of them did resign and a fourth was forced out. I would say that the person who was not named in the report is the one who really should have resigned, and that's Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State. Now, of course, she has resigned, but over health issues, not because of Benghazi Gate. I think that clearly if there is going to be accountability in the government, it has to start right at the top.
Absolutely, and I don't think we've heard the end of this, have we?
No, we haven't. And questions that remain unanswered in that report, which only focused on the State Department's operations, are who was aware and who viewed that live video footage that was shot by a Predator drone over the Benghazi buildings complex at the time of the assault. We know that it went into the Pentagon. There were early reports that it was piped into the Situation Room. The White House is trying to backpedal on that now because that would directly implicate President Obama and his staff. But it's clear we don't know yet who knew what and when they knew it about this assault on our embassy. And much more important than that, Jimmy, who was it who gave the orders to the military to stand down and not to come to the rescue of our officials?
Yes, that's appalling that they would tell the military, who possibly could have gone in and rescued maybe one or two or three of the four personnel. We don't know what the result would have been, but at least they could have tried. Well, let's switch to the Middle East. I'm going to have the Middle East news update with David Dolan, but I want to ask you about what's going on in Syria. Looks like the Syrian chemical weapons are on the move, moving towards Lebanon. Meanwhile, Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, using Scud missiles against the opposition. Boy, this thing is not going away.
It's not, and it's heating up quite significantly. The reports that we saw this week in the Washington Post and other media were essentially from a Syrian defector who had been involved in the chemical weapons program, and he described special trucks that the Syrians used where they could mix the two chemicals, the two elements of sarin gas, which they keep separately for security purposes, and mix them without anybody seeing what was going on. In other words, these were like big ice cream trucks, if you wish, that had tanks inside and mixing tanks inside where they could actually formulate the sarin gas while the trucks were on the move so nobody could see what was going on. Those are the reports that came out this week, that those trucks may be moving toward the Lebanese border. I can tell you one thing, Jimmy, is that this has got the Israelis' attention, and they are watching it very closely.
Yes, and the rest of the world probably being circumspect about this as well. Down south of Israel in Egypt, the referendum, I want to know, the Christian community, the Coptics, what about their concerns? Are being intimidated by the Islamists? But if this referendum is passed and the constitution proposed by President Morsi goes in, does not bode well for them, but does it bode well for the rest of the country either?
Well, the Coptic Christians have been pretty broadly boycotting the vote on Morsi's constitution. And this is a new tactic by the new patriarch of the Coptic Church former days, Pope Shenouda would not be very open politically, would not be active politically. But the new pope is much more so, and he's been standing up to the Muslim Brotherhood. In Assyut this week, there were demonstrations, pretty chilling demonstrations by Muslim Brotherhood activists. You had men on horseback with swords threatening Christians. This is a relic or a reminder, if you wish, of 7th century Muslim invasions of Christian lands when the Muslims would come on horseback with swords and decapitate Christians. That kind of open intimidation is something that open is pretty new to Egypt, and I think it's certainly got many, many Christians worried about their future under the Muslim Brotherhood government.
And with all that opposition prior to the referendum vote, it looks like others are concerned, in addition to the Coptic community. And we're going to have to see how the referendum actually shakes out and what the vote ultimately is going to be, but then see how they're going to try to implement that. Let's focus now on Turkey just for a moment. President Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, was scheduled to go in and meet with Tayyip Erdogan. He canceled that meeting, said it was a World War III threat that Turkey was taking in these Patriot missiles, I believe it was, and putting some U.S. troops on the ground there in Turkey.
Well, a note of levity, Jimmy, if you permit. Don't you just love Ahmadinejad? He comes out with these ridiculous statements just in time when people had thought they were forgetting about his government and his regime's wretched abuses of their own human rights of their own citizens. A world threat of World War III by putting Patriot missiles in Turkey. What a joke. I mean, what's happened is that the United States has come to Turkey's, or satisfied Turkey's request to have these missiles to defend against Syrian aircraft that have been violating Turkey's airspace and the potential of Syrian missile strikes against Turkey. They're not aimed at Iran, and the Patriots really couldn't take any action against Iran, unless, of course, the Iranians decided to launch their own attacks on Turkey. Maybe what he's doing is what you see so frequently when you have an aggressor who telegraphs to the other person or imputes to the other person he's aggressing his own intentions. In other words, Ahmadinejad talking about his own intentions of setting off World War III. That might be the real title here.
I enjoy the levity that you bring to this report, my friend. And indeed, Ahmadinejad, he is a character and does want to be front page news most of the time. But talk to me about this. Russia has sent a destroyer into Iran. What's that all about?
Well, there's the serious backdrop to the story. And you have this Russia-Iran axis, which is deadly serious. It has been going on for quite some time. It actually began during the Soviet Union. Nobody paid much attention to it in the early 1980s when the Soviet Union was supplying Iran with missiles and other weapons to use against Soviet ally Iraq. In other words, the Soviet Union was supplying both sides in the Iran-Iraq war. But today, the Russian Federation under Putin has become virtually the sole arms supplier of Iran. They have been supporting the Islamic Republic of Iran at the Security Council when the U.S. and others have tried to get more resolutions condemning Iran for its nuclear weapons program. So seeing a Russian warship, a destroyer, in the port of Bandar Abbas is not good news. I am sure that the U.S. Navy has kept very, very close watch on it. It is a symbolic gesture. It's not an open military threat, but it bodes very poorly for the future stability in the region.
It certainly does. Ken, a personality that is involved in the Middle East that I, as a journalist, covered and had conversation with, Dennis Ross, has made a statement this week. United States envoy to Middle East says Iran showdown this next year. Does that mean he may be setting the stage, opening the door for a preemptive attack by Israel? Or the United States, are they going to do something? What's it all about?
Well, I think what Dennis Ross, who's in Israel this week, is saying is essentially just look at the calendar and look at the statements from President Obama and look at the progress that the Iranian regime has been making in its nuclear weapons program. Look at the number of centrifuges that they have been introducing into these underground plants, the one at Fordo near Qom, just kind of calculate all that on a calendar and voila, you get 2013 as the countdown to crisis. That was the title of my book on Iran in 2005. I didn't put a date on it. I just said that we were getting closer and closer to a nuclear showdown with Iran. It was predictable back then. We didn't have a hard date. Now the date seems to be a lot closer. So I think this is really a matter of physics and a matter of the calendar.
Wow. Is that book available to Amazon?
Yeah, you can get Countdown to Crisis. It's got really the, it will give you the background, if you wish, to what's going on today. I trace the history of Iran's nuclear weapons program from the inside. I talk about, you know, if I had inside sources in the Iranian regime and access to a lot of classified information, not our secrets, their secrets, from defectors from Iranian intelligence. It also tells the story of Iran's involvement in the 9/11 attacks, which is still a, unfortunately, way too obscure story. That ought to be front page news and should have been back then.
Yes, absolutely. Countdown to Crisis by Ken Timmerman, our broadcast partner here on Prophecy Today, available at Amazon.com. We'll have to see. Maybe we ought to get some of those available here at ProphecyToday.com. Well, Ken, a merry, merry Christmas to you and your family, my dear friend.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. Merry Christmas to you, and God bless. Let's hope things turn out okay in 2013, though I am not very sanguine, I must say.